This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ربي يسر وأعني يا كريم اللهم طهر لنا قلوبنا وزكي لنا نفوسنا يا رب العالمين. So the seventh hadith inshaAllah for tonight. And this hadith is sort of linked, it's definitely linked to the last hadith that we talked about. InshaAllah, let me read the hadith and describe the link and then proceed with the explanation of the hadith. Here, which is reported by both Bukhari and Muslim, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَلْبُ الشَّيْخِ شَابٌ عَلَى حُبِّ اثْنَتَيْنِ طُولِ الْحَيَاةِ وَحُبِّ الْمَالِ قَلْبُ الشَّيْخِ شَابٌ عَلَى حُبِّ اثْنَتَيْنِ طُولِ الْحَيَاةِ وَحُبِّ الْمَالِ. It's a short hadith. He said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the heart of the old man or the older man is young in its love of two things, long life and love of wealth. So the heart of the older man is still young. And it's young in its love for two things, love for longer life and also love of money. Right? Both reported by Bukhari and Muslim. So in the last hadith, we learned about the rich heart and the poor heart, if you remember. What makes a heart poor and what makes a heart rich? And we said whether a heart is rich and poor, whatever happens outside the heart with the dunya is not the source of its happiness or it's not the source of its sadness. But the source of its happiness and sadness lies within the heart itself and its relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we said, and that's really very important. We're not saying that the heart doesn't need anything but what it has inside. No, it needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when it has Allah inside, it becomes a rich heart. And when it's devoid and empty of Allah, it's a poor heart. So in this hadith, it tells us what happens to that poor heart when it progresses in age. It is attached already to the dunya, right? It is attached to the dunya. What happens to it as it progresses in age is that its attachment to dunya increases, even though the body weakens, the body ages, right? Even though the body ages, advances in age. But the heart doesn't advance in age in the same way. So this hadith, subhanAllah, is telling us that as far as the process of aging is concerned, body and heart have different trajectories, different paths. They don't age in the same way. They age differently. That's why you can have a young heart inside an old body, or an old heart inside a young body. Right? So in this hadith, it is telling you that it's not aging in the same way. But the heart ages differently. And the way that it looks and the way that it's attached, it has a different sort of plane than the plane of the body. So let's talk a little bit about aging. And one of the most inconvenient facts of this life is that we age. One of the most disturbing facts in this life for humanity is that we age. And a lot of us don't think about it and, you know, dislike thinking about it, especially when we are younger. We're not concerned with any of that. Because this is something that happens to other people but not us. We say to ourselves, I'm still young, I have my whole life ahead of me. Thinking about aging and getting old and death and, you know, gray hair. Well, this is going to happen decades and decades from now. So I'll think about it later. So whenever this talk about death and getting ready for it comes up, this seems to be for someone else but me. Right? It's for somebody else. Let the old worry about it. I'm young. Right? I'm still in my teens. I'm still in my 20s. I'm still in my 30s. Let somebody else worry about it.
but not me. That's what we tell ourselves. But the thing is that really, your age sneaks up on you. And before you know it, you've reached middle age. You're occupied, we're distracted, we're in our 20s, we're busy with this and that. We're in our 30s and busy with this and that. Before we know it, we've reached middle age. And then we wake up to this fact. And it surprises us. Yeah, we anticipate, yeah, I'm getting closer, I'm 30, I'm bummed out, you know, I'm 30, what did I do in my life? Then we forget about that. But when you really reach middle age, it really disturbs you. And it strikes us all of a sudden. And this reminds me of something that Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah said. He said, مَا شَبَّهْتُ الشَّبَابَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ كَانَ فِي كُمِّي فَسَقَطْ. He said, youth is nothing more like something that I had in my sleeve. Because they used to carry things in their sleeve, no pockets, using their sleeves. Something that I carried in my sleeve, then I lost it. Right? So you know how you go out maybe to the market or with your family and you have something on you and you walk and walk and then you look for it and where did it go? It dropped it. I lost it. Like that. That's what he's saying. That's what shabab is. Youth is like. You think you have it. Then you think that you're gonna always have it. Then all of a sudden you lose it. And then where did it go? I don't know. That's the surprise that hits us. And when we reach middle age with that type of surprise, we begin then to ponder and contemplate. Because then we go back to our life and say, I had all of these goals and I had all of these dreams and all of these plans and I'm going to be the king of the world, right? I'm going to accomplish all of these things and all of this is going to happen for me. But then now, you review, right? You review your life and you find out, well, that was disappointing. All of these things that I wanted to do, and none of them have happened. And now I'm supposed to be middle-aged, and now I'm supposed to be gray, and I'm supposed to be... And then because of these expectations that you've had, and I have, and because they go unfulfilled, and then you look forward. You look forward, right? And you say, what has remained of my life is probably less than what had passed. What do I have left? Death. And nothingness. And I'm going to leave all these beautiful things that I worked so hard to collect. My house and my car and my degrees and all of this. What does it mean if I'm going to end up dying? And when you collect all of this, you end up with a midlife crisis. You experience a midlife crisis. And it's common to experience midlife crises. And it's when you panic. Panic because what's going to lie ahead... Death and old age and loss of people that you love, loss of your own power, your own faculties. I'm gonna hear less, I'm gonna see less, my health is gonna go away, my power, abilities are gonna go away. Loss of money and also looking back at your life and at missed opportunities. And that's when we start reacting to it, right? Sometimes by depression, sometimes by acting inappropriately, but we react to it, right? Like a semi, I've just listened recently to a person, non-Muslim, semi-famous, and they were saying that, I have a crisis, they are in their 40s, he says, I have a crisis in my life. And this person has everything, right? Has fame and has wealth and has, they can go anywhere, right? And they can see anybody that they want to see. They say, I have a crisis in my life. And the person asks them, why do you have, what do you have to complain about? You're not poor, right? You're not sick. You know, you have a family. What do you have to complain about? He says, death. I don't want to die. I don't want to turn into dust. And I don't know what lies ahead. I have no idea what lies ahead. So that's what happens, right? When we age. And when we reach that particular point. But I want to say that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't treat it like that. Right? In the ayah in Surah Al-Ahqaf, when Allah says, حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَبَلَغَ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً قال ربي أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي وأن أعمل صالحا ترضاه وأصلح لي في ذريتي إني تبت إليك وإني من المسلمين. He says, when the human being reaches his strength, right, an age of strength, when he becomes strong, and he reaches 40 years of age, he will say, Allah, give me the power to thank you for the ni'mah that you bestowed upon me and upon my parents, and that I would have the power to do good things that you are happy with, and protect and fix my progeny for me. Indeed, I have repented unto you, and I am of the Muslims. You see, the reaction is different. It's not a reaction of panic and regret, right? It's not a reaction of depression. But it's a reaction of saying, Ya Allah, you've given me so much so far. Because this person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about, his heart is attached to Allah and not the dunya. That's the difference. When your heart is attached to the dunya, you will panic when you're about to lose it. Because all of you have been invested in the dunya. All of your time, all of your energy, right? All of your accomplishments are in the dunya. So when you tell a person that you're going to leave the only home that you have known, the only home that you've loved, you say, where? Where am I going to go? Then he panics. So as sort of, as Ibrahim ibn Adham, rahimahullah, when he was asked, why do we hate death so much? And he said, because you've built your worldly life and beautified it and neglected your hereafter. So you hate to leave what you've built and beautified and go to a ruin. Right? A place that you don't love to inhabit because it's not beautiful. So all of your beauty is here. So when you tell a person, I'm going to leave this, he says, I can't leave everything that I've loved. But with this person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about, no, he's saying, Ya Allah, my heart is with you. My focus is on you. My intent and goal is to be in the hereafter, where you are pleased with me. So this is a journey that I'm going towards you, Ya Allah. So when I reach it, I will look at everything that Allah had given to me and thank Allah for it. Give me this ni'mah and this ni'mah and this ni'mah. No regrets, no sorrow. Ya Allah, give me so much. So thank you for it and keep giving me more. And he thanks Allah for the ni'mah that he'd given to his parents and also for the ni'mah of his children. And help me on my path so that I can reach you. So this becomes a pivotal moment in our journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of our milestones is to reach that particular age. It's not something to run away from. It's not something to dread and fear. It's actually something to embrace and use. Because you're going to meet it anyway. To embrace and actually use. As a transition towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Dawood, rahimahullah, said, كَانَ أَحَدُهُمْ He reports about the people that lived before him. كَانَ أَحَدُهُمْ إِذَا بَلَغَ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً طَوَى فِرَاشَهُ He said, one of them used to be that when he reaches the year or the age of 40, he would fold his mattress. Right? If you know, in some countries, till today, they still do that, right? They have a mattress on the floor, and when you're done sleeping, what do? You fold the mattress. Because you need the space. Right? Not only poor countries, rich countries, right? But the space is limited, you fold the mattress. So he's saying it's the same thing. طَوَى فِرَاشَهُ They fold their mattress, meaning that they stop sleeping or they sleep less and they concentrated more on the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it was a transition, a time of transition where you say to yourself, I'm getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the time where your maturity, mental maturity, right, emotional maturity and also physical maturity, all of them meet together. And the foolishness of young age is behind. So you say, okay, now I am heading with more wisdom towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no wonder then that the prophets of Allah, including Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, what age did they receive their first revelation and become prophets? 40. The age of 40. And most of the other prophets or all of them also received it at that age. So it tells you that's an age of transformation. It's an age of beginning, not an age of end. Oh, subhanAllah, I'm 40. That just, you know, that's it for me. No. It's an age of transformation. And the prophets of Allah were saying, now change yourself and change your entire society when they were 40. So that gives you renewed hope that you're not just looking at this dunya, you're looking at the hereafter. You don't measure your age by this dunya, but you measure it actually, but you're able to accomplish for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. Now, something on the side here that I think is important, that one of the reasons, you know, a lot of people are also afraid of old age is because we put it down in popular culture. We really put getting old down. We ridicule the elderly. We make fun of them. Like comedians and such, right? Oh, they can't hear. Oh, they can't see. Ha ha, it's funny and it's funny, right? Oh, they are so irrelevant. Or they're so behind. They don't understand technology. So we ridicule. We make fun of them. So of course, when this is the image that we have in our minds, right, of getting old, you don't want to be that person. You want to be as young as you can. You're going to hold to it because you don't want to be the object of ridicule. You don't want to be made fun of. So that happens in Western culture, at least pockets of Western culture. And that's not how our attitude should be with getting old and with the elderly. And I'll give you just a couple of hadiths from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just so that we will adjust the attitude. So in one of them, it says that an old man wanted to come and see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the people were sitting around the Prophet, right? So they failed to give him space, right? To clear space so that he can come closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet said, "Laysa minna man lam yarham saghirana wa lam yuqir kabirana." He says, "The one of us, or he's not one of us, if he does not have mercy towards the young among us and respect our elders." Right? So this is your attitude towards other people. If you are to be a Muslim, it says towards the young you have to be merciful and kind. They need that from you. How about the elderly? He says respect, right? And esteem. So whenever you see someone who's older than you are, even by months maybe, or even a couple of years, he's older than you, then that person deserves what? Respect. And if he's younger, then he deserves what? Mercy and kindness from you. And another hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Al-barakatu ma'a akabirikum." He says, "Barakah, you will find barakah with your elders." Right? Blessings, you will find it with your elders. Because with your elders, they have that wisdom, they have that dua, they have that proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you want to consult, when you want to talk, when you want blessing in your life, seek it with your elders, right? Consult with your elders. So, moving from age, I want to talk, inshallah, about hope. Because this hadith of tonight, is significant in teaching us something about how much hope we should have. And where should we have it. Hope, I want to say and suggest to you tonight, hope is about holding on to the permanent. That's what I want to really emphasize. Whatever we hope, like what really underlies all of our hopes, is that we want to hold on to permanence and fight off and avoid decay and loss. That's really what everything we hope for is. And if you want a proof for that, and proof that really every human being wants permanence, you go back to the first human being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, which is Adam alayhi salam. So Allah tells us in the Quran that Iblis is so angry with Adam. Now he wants to take him away, sway him, right? Misguide him. What does he say to him? This is the forbidden tree. What does he say to him? قَالَ يَا آدَمُ هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكِ لَا يَبْلَى. It says, Adam, shall I not direct you to the tree of eternal life and a kingship? Or a possession that will never end. Iblis understood Adam very well. And that's what he does with us. And I explained that before, right? Iblis, right, or the shaitan in general, right? He studies you. He understands you. He understands your emotions. And so he studied Adam. He understood Adam. And he knew that Adam wanted to live forever in Jannah. So you understand from that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell Adam you're going to be living forever in Jannah. Otherwise, why would Iblis tempt him? If Iblis were to come and tell him this, he said, no, Allah promised me already. I don't need to eat from this tree. So Allah did not tell him you're going to live forever in Jannah. Adam wanted it. So Iblis came, he swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said, I will tell you how you can attain eternal life in this paradise. Eat from this tree. And Adam believed him. Why did he come to him from that particular point? Because he knew that Adam wanted this the most. That's what Adam's weakness. He wanted that the most. And that's why he was able to trick Adam and tempt him to eat from that tree. And from the time of Adam alayhi salam till the time of the last human being who will be on this earth, this is the thing that we want. Permanent life. We hate impermanence. We don't want death. We want permanent life. Right? As I said before, I mean, nothing disturbs us. Rather than saying to us, you're going to lose this thing. Oh, wonderful, mashallah, a new car. I am the happiest person on this earth. But you're going to lose it. Okay, I'm the saddest person right now. Because I'm going to lose it. And so none of our happiness can continue and can be sustained when you tell us that we're going to lose this thing. A new child, but you're going to lose it, or you may lose it. I'll be terrified for the rest of my life, as a lot of mothers and fathers are, right? Just don't tell me that I may lose my child. Never, no. I just don't want to think about it. It terrifies. It really terrifies us because we don't want to lose anything that we love. So we want permanence. We want all the things that we love, but we want them forever. But where is this going to happen? In Jannah. And what is so interesting here is that the shaitan came to Adam and he told him, do this and you will get permanent life. He did that and he left Jannah. The opposite of what he wanted. At least if I didn't listen to you, Iblis, at least I would stay here. I don't know if I'll have permanent life, but at least I will stay here. I listened to you and I lost the best thing that I had. It is the same thing, the same trick of the shaitan that will come to us and say, oh, you want permanent life? Or you want to live more? Earn more money. Just think about that. Earn more money. Immerse yourself in this life. And that is the same thing, and the very thing that will deprive you of eternal life in paradise. Because it will take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you want eternity or eternal life, you have to attach yourself and be close to Allah. When you are away from Him, you lose it. When you listen to the shaitan and his whispers, this is the way that you can get it. Just hold on to this life, hold on to this life, hold on to this life. That is the same prescription that will make you lose it and me lose it if we listen to him. And there is no question that this life is really tempting. It's really beautiful. I don't even have to tell you, I don't even have to bring evidence to tell you that this life is really beautiful. Right? In the hadith, the Prophet says, حُلْوَةٌ خَضِرَةٌ, it's sweet and, you know, good looking, this life. That's how he described it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? It's money, right? It's pleasures, it's travel, it's women, it's drinks, and it's food, and you can just move from one beautiful thing to the other, one beautiful thing to the other, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. Desires had been made very beautiful to humanity. Right? Had been made very beautiful to humanity. You know, to the extent that in the hadith, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surrounds hellfire with temptations, and Jibreel goes and sees it, and this is an angel who has seen what's inside hellfire. And he says, after he had seen the temptations around hellfire, he says, I am now afraid that no one will be saved from it. Because of how beautiful these temptations are. That everybody will be attracted to them, and from that will drop in hellfire. So it was made very beautiful. But that is the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made. إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. We had made what is on this earth a beauty, something of beauty. So that we will test them which among them has the best of deeds. And both we are going to receive a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a promise from the shaitan. You're receiving two promises. One that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and one that comes from the shaytan. Allah says, Ya ayyuha an-nasu inna wa'da Allahi haqq. O people, the promise of Allah is the promise that is true. Don't believe the promise of the shaytan. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. Don't let this dunya tempt you, and don't let the shaytan tempt you and delude you. He's just lying to you, thinking that if you just invest and think about this life, you will get what you want. That's the promise of the shaytan. The promise of Allah is that you listen to me and you will go to heaven. The promise of the shaytan, you will listen to me, you will get everything you want, but in this life. And then you have a choice to be made. Which of the two are you going to believe? And subhanAllah, you will find that the person who believes in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we said, his heart will be attached to the hereafter, more than this dunya. His hope will be greater in the hereafter, more than in this dunya. But the other person, the other category of people who will listen to the promise of the shaitan, the greater hope will be in this dunya than in the hereafter. And they would not want to leave this dunya. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about some of the non-believers in the Qur'an. وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَى حَيَاتِ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِمُزَحْزِحِهِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ أَنْ يُعَمَّرُ. So it's the heart of the kafir, the non-believer, that is empty. And when the heart is empty, it has to attach to something. It has to love something. It has to find a house for itself. Right? So what house will I find for myself if it's not Jannah? What attachment will I have if it's not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What hope will I have if it's not the hope of meeting Allah? All of that will be in this life. So the thing that I will hate the most is leaving it. And Allah says about them, you will find them most eager to stay in this life. Even more than the polytheist. Allah is talking about some of the people of the book. Even more than the polytheist, they will love this life to the extent that they would want to live there for 1,000 years. But even if they live for 1,000 years, that is not going to save them from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, and this is really something that is really revealing about this dunya. We want to live long. So Allah is telling you, how long can you live? 100 years is the maximum really that we can live. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the ages of my ummah, أَعْمَارُ أُمَّتِي مَا بَيْنَ السِّتِّينَ وَالسَّبْعِينُ وَأَقَلُّهُمْ مَنْ يَجُوزُ ذَلِكَ. He says, the ages of my ummah on average are between 60 and 70. Few of them live longer than that. Now you can hope with advances in science and better care, maybe I'll live till 80 or so, maybe 100 if you really like have good genes, right? And Allah destines that you live. You can maybe live to 100. But then you have to die. Then Allah tells you, well, okay, suppose that you live for 200 years. You live for 500 years. Suppose you live for 1,000 years. As long as Nuh alayhi salam lived. What happened to Nuh? He had to die. Even 1,000 years are going to end. 2,000 years are going to end. This life was not built for eternal living. Was not designed like that. It's going to end no matter how long you live on it. So you're going to lose this life. So what benefit does it bring you to live for 1,000 years if ultimately you're going to meet the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's what's going to happen. So rather than really cling to this life and say, I want to live as long as I can in it, say to yourself, I want to really invest in the next life so that when I die, and I will die, I can live for eternity happy. For eternity satisfied. For eternity not in need of anything. So the heart that is distracted of this life is the heart of an unbeliever. And the heart of the weak Muslim with a weak iman. That's the heart of a person who is distracted by this life. Allah says about them, ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا وَيُلْهِيهُمُ الْأَمَلْ فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. Let them eat and let them drink and let them be distracted by false hope. They will know. They will know. Right? I like to eat this and that's what I'm worried about. I like to drink that and that's what I'm worried about. And tomorrow I want to do this and tomorrow I want to do that. Distract yourself with it. Keep distracting yourself with it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Because you're going to wake up rudely to the fact that now my life is done. So one of the things that this hadith is urging us to do is limit your hope in this life. What you expect out of it, limit it. And don't expect that you're going to live a long life. You may end up living a long life, but what do you expect, what type of hope you have, don't expect that you're going to live for a long time. Don't do that. That is طول الأمل. That is طول الأمل. Here, there's a nice incident here. You know, Muhammad ibn Abi Tawbah says, a person named Ma'ruf, he said, he called the Iqamah for the Salah, and he called this person Muhammad, he says, you lead. He said, تقدم. So Muhammad says to him, and this seems to be like he's pushing him, go ahead, lead the Salah, lead the Salah. So he says, you know, إِنْ أَمَمْتُكُمْ فِي هَذِهِ الصَّلَاةِ لَمْ أَمُّكُمْ فِي غَيْرِهَا. He says, if I will lead you in this Salah, I won't lead another Salah. If I'm the Imam now, I'm not going to be the Imam in that other Salah. So what does he tells him? He says, وَأَنْتَ تُحَدِّثُ نَفْسَكَ أَنْ تُصَلِّي صَلَاةً أُخْرَى نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ طُولِ الْأَمَلِ فَإِنَّهُ يُضَيِّعُ خَيْرَ الْعَمَلِ. He says, and you're telling yourself that you're going to live till the next Salah. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ from having such an extended hope. Because indeed it wastes the best of deeds. Right? So it was to that extent. To that extent. You know, you hear some of that, you know, imams sometimes remind you, pray as if it's your last. That's what he's saying. But actually he's applying it. He's saying to himself, no, you actually pray. This is the last Isha prayer that I'm going to pray. I'm not going to reach Fajr. If you really believe that, you will see how you will pray Isha. But actually believe it. This is it. This is the last Salah that I'm going to have. You will see how you will pray Isha. How much you will say in your sujood and how much you'll say in your ruku'. This is the last time that I'm going to be speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah on the face of this earth. You go ahead and pray. And that's what he says, the impact of having such an extended type of hope that compels you to waste time. Because you'll say, yeah, I did waste it, but next salah. Yeah, maybe I didn't do it right today, tomorrow, next week, the week after. So there is this tasweef, there is this delay. But if you say that I'm going to die tonight, I'm going to die this morning, there is no other time for you to do what you're supposed to do. It's now or never. So you will be your best now. Not at an imagined point in the future. That's what tasweef or sort of delaying repentance is all about. At an imagined point in the future where you will say to yourself, I'll be good then. Everything will be fine then. I'll fix myself then. And it's always a point in when I get married. That is going to fix everything in my life. Yeah, go and ask the married people if that fixed everything in their life. Maybe for some. But did it? No. This is not, you know, putting it down. I'm saying that every phase in its life brings with it its extra responsibilities. When I get my job, when I graduate from school, get my job settled down. Go ask people who just got jobs if that really helped. Right? When I have my first child, yeah, good luck with that. You know, when they graduate, when, it's always when. Why? Because you think that you're going to live till then. You think that you're going to live to your 10. And that ruins the heart. What happens to the heart is that you begin to neglect Allah's commands. Because they are later. And the heart becomes heedless. There's ghafla. Right? The heart sleeps. And becomes stiff and hard. Because it's later. And it's not responding. The heart is not responding. No, if you believe that you're going to die now, your heart will wake up. It will be alive and will listen. And here is a statement from Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. He says, إِنَّ أَخْوَفَ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ اثْنَتَيْنِ طُولُ الْأَمَلِ وَاتِّبَاعُ الْهَوَى فَأَمَّا طُولُ الْأَمَلِ فَيُنْسِي الْآخِرَةِ أَوْ فَيُنَسِّي الْآخِرَةِ وَأَمَّا اتِّبَاعُ الْهَوَى فَيَصُدُّ عَنِ الْحَقِّ. He says, the things that I fear most for you are two things. This is the statement from Ali ibn Abi Talib. The first is having hope that you will live for a long time. طول الأمل. And the other one is following hawa, following desire. As for طول الأمل, having extended hope, it will make you forget about the hereafter. Your focus is all about the dunya. I'm collecting because I'm going to build my house. I'm collecting. There's a story that somebody tells. He says that somebody came and he wanted to manufacture a bed. In a Muslim country, manufacture a bed, to build that bed from scratch. So he goes to that bed manufacturer and he said, I want it to be from this particular wood, this particular design. And he says, every time he changes his mind and he wants it to be the best of the best. The best wood, the best bedding, right? The best of everything. And he says, it took us months, right? It took us months to find what he wants, months to make it. And we keep asking him, come and pick it up, come and pick it up, because it's expensive. He says, okay, I'm gonna come. Then he calls the family and he says, if you're not gonna come and pick it up, I'm gonna drop it in your home. It's expensive. He says he's dead. Right? He's dead. So, if you think about it this way, that anything that I'm collecting, everything that I'm collecting, I may not have the opportunity to enjoy it, you will look at it differently. If this man was actually told, right, that particular bed that you were manufacturing for yourself, you're not going to see it. You're not going to use it. Would he have spent all that time, all that money on it or not? Or will the priorities change? It doesn't mean, of course, that you're not supposed to enjoy anything in this life. But when you think that your death might be imminent, and in fact it could be imminent, you will change your priorities. What you spend, your time, right? What you invest in, all of that changes. And in al-Bukhari, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says after a famous hadith, he says, إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الصَّبَاحُ وَإِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الْمَسَاءُ وَخُذْ مِنْ صِحَّتِكَ لِمَرَضِكَ وَمِنْ حَيَاتِكَ لِمَوْتِكَ. He says, when you reach the evening, don't wait for the morning. Don't tell yourself, I will live till the morning. Says, this is my night when I will die. And when you reach the morning, don't wait for the evening. وَخُذْ مِنْ صَحَّتِكَ لِمَرَضِكَ. Take advantage of your health before you are sick. And take advantage of your life before you die. Now how can you take advantage of your life before you die? If you always think you're going to be living. This can only happen if you tell yourself, my death is close. And it's going to happen. Now take advantage of it. Only then will you be able to take advantage of your life on this earth. And only then will you be ready. That when death comes, it's not going to surprise you as much. Right? As some of the Salaf have said about someone else, he said, لَوْ قِيلَ لَهُ إِنَّكَ تَمُودُ غَدَى لَمَا اسْتَطَاعَ أَنْ يَزِيدَ فِي عَمَلِهِ. He said, if he were to be told, you're going to die tomorrow, he would not be able to do anything extra. That he has done everything that he can. He's doing everything that he can. If one Siltikal would come to tell him, no, your death is going to come tomorrow, he said, there will be no time, no place for him to add anything extra. He already had filled everything. So this is how we prepare ourselves for the next life. By having qisarul amal. I hope that our life, or I will hope that our life is not going to be long. If it is, then this is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as far as my expectation is, my life is going to be short. And it could end tonight. It can end up in the morning. Now what helps us understand this is that all of our hope, right, or a lot of our hope and the things that we hope for, we're not going to live to see. And this is a fact. Our hope extends, our amal extends beyond our lifespan. And this is, if you've seen the video that I posted on Facebook, that's why I posted it. The Prophet ﷺ has a hadith, and I'll try inshallah to explain it. He drew on the sand a diagram. He drew on the sand a square. Right? So a square. And he drew inside that square a line that is inside the square but extends all the way outside of that square. And then to the top and bottom of that line, and that's in the middle of the square, there are smaller lines. So you have the square, you have that long line coming from inside the square and exiting, and then small lines that are on the side of that square. And he says, this square is one's destiny. This is your life or your destiny that surrounds you. That part of that line that is inside the square is your life. The part of that line that is outside of that square, this is your hope. So you see here, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, your hope extends way beyond your lifespan. Right? Because that square is your destiny. This is your life. And the line that is inside, this is your life inside of it. But you're always looking for more. Always looking for more. But death comes and stops. Right? So that's the end of that square. And what lies beyond it, that line that lies beyond that square, that's your hope. And he says these small lines that are inside the square, these are al-a'rad, the afflictions and the tests. If one misses you, the other one won't. So this is our life. In this dunya, we are between this test and that test. This anxiety and that hardship. This is always what's going to be like. Alhamdulillah, also there's a lot of good in it. But this life is also filled with tests. But look at our hope. It always lies beyond. Always ahead. Always looking for something. Even when we reach old age. Even when we reach old age. Now you expect, maybe, that the person who has reached old age, right, would relinquish, right, would give up that hope in a long life. He would not desire it anymore. He would not hold on dearly to it. Would not love money so more. But the Prophet ﷺ is saying that this is not the case. At least for most people, this is not the case. For some, it will be that. They say, I don't want to live anymore. Right? But he's saying that for most people, this is not the case. Why? Because we have nurtured and cultivated the love of this life in our hearts for all of our life. And this is the thing that we know, and this is the thing that we love the most. And now that we are closer to the end, and know that we are closer to the end, and we panic, we hold on to this love as strongly as we can. I don't want to leave. Leave to what? Leave and face what? So you hold on to it as fiercely as you can. And you hold on to wealth which serves this life as fiercely as you can. So though the body is getting older, the heart is still young and strong in its love for this life. And in fact, subhanAllah, it says in another narration that you will find in Al-Bukhari, is that it doesn't only remain strong, it even grows stronger. So he says, يَكْبَرُ ابْنُ آدَمْ وَيَكْبَرُ مَعْهُ اثْنَتَانِ. He says that child of Adam grows, and two things grow with him. Love of this life and love of wealth. So they don't only remain strong, at least for some people, they don't only remain strong, they become even stronger. And this is here, you know, a point of caution for us. That let us not say to ourselves, you know, I'll do it when I'm older. I'll just repent and I'll pray and I'll be a good person when I'm older. When you listen to this hadith and the Prophet ﷺ, he's saying that your heart's love for this dunya will be most intense when you're older. It may be difficult for some people to change their heart then. You may not have access over it. You may not have control over it. Because I spent all of my life loving this dunya. How can I change now? Now it's true, alhamdulillah, Allah allows a lot of people or some people to change when they become older and they become closer to Allah and they die like that. This is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is likely because they've done something, right? They've done something while they were younger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved. Allah knew that they had something good inside of them. But you can't say to yourself, no, I'm not going to do anything and I'm not going to care for my heart, and my heart is not going to love Allah and not love this religion and not practice any of it, and I'll just wait for the time till I be older. First, we may not reach that time. Second, even if we reach it, right? وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can stand between you and your heart. Know that the love of this dunya can stand between you and your heart. You want to repent, but you love it so much. You want to give, but you love money so much. You want to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the love of this dunya had overwhelmed you so much. So you don't want to do that. And you want to fix your heart as soon as you can. And as fast as you can. Now, there might be in our minds, you know, a contradiction between saying, how can I have قصر الأمل, hope, or think that I'm going to die soon, and at the same time, I plan for anything long term, right? I don't know if that had crossed your mind or not. You know, if it did, right? Right, there is that saying. It's not a hadith actually, but it's a saying that says that plan for your dunya or work for your dunya as if you're living forever. Right? So, is there like a contradiction between saying, إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الصَّبَاحُ وَإِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الْمَسَاءُ. So if I'm a person who's thinking like this, I may die in the morning, I may die in the evening, this is my last salah. Does that contradict the fact that I'm planning something for next week and planning something for next year and so on? And the thing that we want to say is that there is really no contradiction between the two. And in fact, that type of thinking only enhances your long-term plans. Right? Because you're not going to delay the thing that you need to delay. Right? If you're thinking to yourself, right, I want to plan something. Remember also some of the stuff that we said before. I want to plan something. You first have to ask yourself, is this for me, for this dunya, or for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's the first thing that you want to ask. If it is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it really doesn't harm you. Whether you die before you see its conclusion or not, because Allah writes that intention for you and writes that activity for you. So he said to his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran, right? What are we going to take your life before you see what is going to happen to them or not? Their matter or their affair belongs to us. That is, he's telling him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's possible that you're not going to see the conclusion of all of this. You just deliver the message. It's possible that if I plan something that is big, I want to memorize the Quran. That will take me maybe a year or two or more. But I don't know if I'm going to live a year or two or more. Should I not plan it? No, you plan it. But if you think that you're going to die tomorrow, you say to yourself, I want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having done my best today. And my plan is to memorize the Quran. Or to build this hospital. Or to whatever, you know, take care of this huge project that I have. So I'll do everything that I can today so that when I meet Allah, I say, Allah, I've done everything that I can to make it successful. And when you meet Allah with such an intention and having done all that you can to make this project successful, Allah will write it for you as if you have actually accomplished it. You follow me? So maybe you have not memorized the entire Quran, but that's my intention, my sincere intention. And I have been doing every day all that I can without overwhelming yourself, right? Without panicking, you know, oh my goodness, memorized, you know, 20 pages for... No, no. You know, with a focused, steady effort. But I have done my job for today. And you die before reaching that objective. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write it for this person as if you have accomplished all of that. So it doesn't actually stop you from thinking big. It actually pushes you to plan big. And it organizes your life for you. So here Abdullah, here Amatullah, you're going to be dying tomorrow. What about this project of yours? Okay, I will take care of it as much as I can today. Then the next day, Abdullah, you're going to be dying today, you're going to be dying tomorrow, what about your problem? I'll be taking care of it, and so on, and so on, and so on. And this is, by the way, how your heart stays young. So this is another description of the heart that I want to add for tonight. The young, vital, hopeful heart. Not hopeful in the dunya. I'm going to have more money, I'm going to be rich, and I'm going to be famous. Not that. Hopeful in the hereafter. Hoping from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having a young heart. It doesn't really matter if you are 80 or 90 or 100. You'll see them, subhanallah. You know, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us all hearts like these when we reach, and if we reach that type of age. He's 90 or 100, and he's going and learning the Qur'an. And you say to yourself, or somebody who is a cynic or a skeptic, why are you doing this, or trying to memorize the Qur'an at this age? He says, yes, because I want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this effort. It doesn't matter if I actually memorize it, but on this effort, on this path, that's how I want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find him going to the masjid, right? And some people are carrying him to the masjid. Why are you doing that? Because I will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing this and on this path and on that effort. That's a young heart. Doesn't pay attention to how gray the hair is and how old the body is. That's a young heart. And that's the kind of heart that we have. Versus another heart, right? The body could be very young, but the heart inside is depressed and has given up hope. Nothing works. You know, my heart is dead. You know, Allah doesn't love me. That a heart that is very old and decayed. So another description or another state of the heart is the hopeful, young, vital heart. And the dead heart that had lost hope. And the thing that enlivens the heart again is what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and having hope in Him. So don't have hope in this dunya. Don't invest your hope in this dunya. It's worthless. And it will disappoint you. You want eternal life. Adam alayhi salam wanted eternal life. I want eternal life. You can get this eternal life from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. In Jannah. Right? So this is our hope. And that is the hope that brings the heart closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And detaches it from the temptations of this dunya and the shaitan. Opposite the hope that this hadith is talking about. The older you get, the more attached to this dunya you will be. And the greater the sorrow will be when the angel of death comes and says to the soul, come out. And where are you going to take me? And other than sin or piety or impiety, right? Other than piety and impiety, right? Because of the soul, when the soul actually is being received by the angels of mercy, right? And it sees that, it wants to exit to the angels of mercy, right? And when the soul sees the angels of punishment, it does, it runs away from them. But other than piety and impiety, a soul that had been attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is waiting to meet Him, when you tell it, come and meet Allah, it says, yes. That's the thing that I was been waiting for. That's my hope. And the soul that had been attached to this life, you tell it, come and leave. It runs back into the body. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those souls that are attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hopeful of everything that He had promised. And not to make us of those who put all of their hope in their dunya and believe the deception of the shaitan. جزاكم الله خيرا على حسن استماعكم وحضوركم. May Allah reward you. And I say, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. الحمد لله رب العالمين.